sincerely and thoroughly enjoyed the meeting thus far. I thank God for all that we've heard, the good hymn, the singing. I love to see God's people enjoying the song service, enjoying the time that we can lift up our voices in praise to the Lord, singing from our hearts and speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that honor and glorify the Lord and that comfort the hearts of the Lord's people. It'll make you feel better when you get through the house of God and you're able to sing. And you're able to see others of God's children. And what Brother Jimmy brought to mind brought a lot of memories back to my mind. I remember when he was a little bitty boy, you know. And so, of course, I remember a lot of that too. a lot that went on there. And I remember when he used to run around at the Thumb Run Church and knock little sisters' hats off their heads as he went around the pews. So he didn't do that very much because Mama got a hold of him, but I can remember some of those behaviors. And I'm just thankful for the way the Lord has led me in this world. I'm thankful for the manifest presence that He's allowed me to feel in my life. I'm thankful for His love for me, I believe. That He loved me enough to send our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die in our room instead. Thankful for the forgiveness of sins, aren't you? Because if it were not for the forgiveness of sins, that's why we can sing that hymn, Poor, Weak, and Worthless. You look at that and you think, oh, that's a depressing title. But it isn't when you read the rest of it. Poor, weak, and worthless, though I am, I have a rich, almighty friend. Jesus the Savior is His name. He freely loves and without end. He ransomed me from hell with blood. And by His power, my foes control. That's a God you can trust in, isn't it? It's a God we can depend upon tonight. It's a God who we should declare to God's little children. Not to make it so, but because it is so. We should let God's little children know how great the Lord is. How great things He has done for His children. Not only should we say that from the pulpit, but we should believe that in the pew. We should embrace it as a little child of God. And then we should take the name of Jesus with us and keep it in our hearts. Keep your heart. Protect it. Attend to what's said. And then pull it into your heart. And then try your very best to live it to the honor and the glory and the praise of Almighty God. And as you do that, you'll find a light along the way, a path that He opens for you. His watch care, His protection is with you in this whole world. And whether you and I know that or not tonight, we need Him. We need Him. You really can't make it without Him. I have a passage of Scripture that's on my mind that I'd like to read in your hearing. And I've just been struggling this afternoon at home trying to settle my mind on where I should speak from tonight. This passage is here and I'm going to read it in your hearing, and I feel like we've already heard some good things tonight in the singing and in the prayer and in the words that have already been spoken, and we'll follow as the Lord leads us with this, and whatever He gives us, we pray that we'll be faithful to follow Him. So you pray for me and we'll pray for one another. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you from the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. Reading at verse 1, he says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's a very important verse that you find not only in this place, but many other places in the scripture. Those who have ears, let him hear. And who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In order for us to understand anything in the Word of God, we have to first be made alive by the God of heaven. The eye cannot see, the ear cannot hear, the heart cannot understand anything that the Lord has prepared for them that love Him. That is the eye of man, the ear of man, the heart of man, the natural man. In order for us to have any understanding about anything spiritually, we have to be first worked on by the grace of Almighty God and quickened and made alive. And this lesson is given to those who have an ear. Let him hear. It's given to those of God's little children. It's talking to us about the importance of the Word of God and the importance of hearing the Word of God and the importance of attending to the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God in our lives and how important it is tonight that you and I gather as we've met to worship God, that we gather from the gospel that's being preached, the lesson that the Lord has for us there, so that as we face the troubles and the problems of this life, we're equipped to live in a way to bring honor and glory to the Lord, which is a way that brings abundant fruit in our life, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. As we read this passage, the Lord didn't stop there. I just think about the whole scene and it just kind of overwhelms me when I think about what was going on here. This is the living Word of God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Word that was with God in the beginning. The Word that was God. The Word who created the heavens and the earth. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Word that gave His life for His lambs and for His sheep. This is the Word that went to the cross. This is the Word that lived and walked among us, who was verily God and verily man. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is here teaching His children. He says to them, the same day when Jesus out of the house, and he sat by the seaside, just get the picture, and a great multitude were gathered together unto him. Can you see the crowd? And he says, and he went into a ship, and when he sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So here's Jesus. He's preaching from a ship. Isn't that good to know that you can preach from a ship? It's also good to know you don't have to preach standing up. In case ever we get to where we can't stand up, you can preach sitting down. As a matter of fact, the greatest preacher who ever preached, he preached sitting down. He didn't have to stand in a pulpit, but he was on a ship where he could be seen, and he was in a place where he could be heard. And what he did, this is the one who preached this sermon, was the one who spoke the world into existence. I can't imagine all that he might have been taught and all that might have been said, but I'm sure glad he's left something on record for us that you and I can go to, which truly furnishes us unto all good works. What that tells me is that the things that Jesus taught are necessary for us to know. And tonight we're to be faithful. Not to preach what we think, not to think, not to do what we feel like doing, but preach and to teach that which the Lord Jesus Christ Himself taught, and that which the Lord has given us. And as he went here, it says, he lays out a parable before them, And he says, behold, a sower went forth to sow. What is the seed that's sown by the sower? The scripture tells us it's the word of God. Reading on here, it says, and his disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. In other words, he used parables in order to hide these things from the wise and prudent, and to reveal them unto babes. Now someone said, why would he ever do that? Why would he hide it from the wise and prudent? First of all, we know he did it because it seemed good in his sight. We heard yesterday from the preaching of Brother Forrest, as he preached from Matthew chapter 11, that it pleased the Lord Jesus Christ. And he thanked the Father that thou had hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Tonight it's really important that you and I don't get high-minded, and we don't get our eyes and our thoughts upon ourselves to where we think we've got it and others don't have it. We don't become like the Pharisee who looks down on the publican and says, I'm glad I'm not like this one, and I'm glad I'm not like that one. It's important that we sing hymns like, poor, weak, and worthless though I am, because that puts us where we really belong, so that we can truly see what it means to have a friend like Jesus. We got a friend like Jesus. And that friend like Jesus is the one we look to help keep our church, is the one we look to tonight to help bless us to preach, is the one we look to tonight to feed us, is the one we trust in to one day take us to glory. And if he's going to take us to glory one day, surely he's big enough and great enough and powerful enough to take care of me and you as we go through the storms and the problems and the troubles of life. Come what may, whether joy or sorrow, be my portion, pain or death. I'm telling you, Jesus knows and he cares, and he will supply just what we need in the problems and the troubles of life. And I'm here to say that to you tonight. And I pray through the gospel message that you hear it, and that you not only find it as something that you hear and don't understand, or something that you hear and you let loose of, or something that you hear and for a minute you get excited about and then it seems to get away from you, but that you pray, that it lands on good soil, and that it brings forth fruit. It gives you joy, it gives you peace, it gives you rest, it gives you comfort, it gives you what the Lord's meaning for us to have in it. And it brings forth bountiful fruit, and not everybody's going to get the same amount. God gives it as he sees fit to give it. Some might get it 30-fold. Aren't you thankful you can get it 30-fold? Some might get it 60-fold. Aren't you thankful you can get it 60-fold? And some might get it 100-fold. That means your cup runs over, and you're drinking, as the brother said, from the saucer, because my cup's overflowed. Brother Troutner used to say that a lot in his preaching. I'm thankful to the good Lord that at times he causes my cup to overflow, and he causes my heart to rejoice, and he causes me to get lifted up and get excited. And I tell you, when I can't get excited, I'm in trouble. And when I can't feel him, I'm in trouble. And the Bible here expresses to us some things that we need to be aware of, so that when we come to the house of God, by being obedient to his word and looking to him, we can enjoy the blessings of that fruit that comes in your life, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. And all of it comes from the Lord, doesn't it? I can't give it to you. I can only give that which the Lord gives to me. And if it's anything good, it's from him. If you got anything out of Brother Jimmy, it came from the Lord. If you got anything out of the singing, it came from the Lord. If you got anything out of the fellowship tonight, it came from the Lord. And so tonight we're not looking to anyone else but the Lord. We have no confidence in the flesh. We're trusting in him. And I say to you, when you trust in him, you'll find what you need each and every time. We read on as he says here. He says in verse 15 of Matthew 13, speaking about the people that could not see, he says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their ears, see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Now there's a difference between a man that doesn't have eyes and doesn't have ears and doesn't have a heart than there is from a person that has an eye and has an ear and has a heart, but they've closed their eyes, their ears have become dull of hearing, and they have made, and their heart has waxed gross. To wax means it grows dull. It means you've heard these things so many times they don't really mean that much to you anymore. It means that you're hearing them, but you're not really hearing them. It means that you're hearing the sound of it, and it stirs you a little bit. But if you ever, and it's not just you, listen, I'm talking more to me tonight than I am talking to anybody else. When you've sung the song so many times that you feel like you know it so well that you can't feel it when you sing it, that's when your heart is waxing gross. When you go through a song service and you kind of get to the end of it and you say, "Well, we're done that one," and it isn't something that's excited you. Or you go to the meeting and you say, "Well, I've checked that box. I've been to the meeting today," and it's not something that really has moved you. Or you hear the most wonderful good news that can ever be heard, and that's the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and you hear it and you go out the door and it seems like nothing's any different. That means we have a problem. And the problem is a heart problem. And it's not talking about someone who isn't a child of God, because these are examples of God's children that heard the word, and yet the word didn't have the impact. It didn't have the movement. It was not there the way it ought to be in our hearts. And we didn't hold it in our hearts. We didn't cherish it in our hearts like we are told as God's little children to be responsible to do. Now listen, you can't change a heart that's dead. If a heart hasn't been touched by the hand of God, the Bible says the heart of man is wicked, and it's Jeremiah 17. There you go, sister. But I'm going to read it. But you got it. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" That's the heart that we have until the Lord works a work of grace in our hearts, and He circumcises our hearts, and He takes away the heart of flesh, and He takes away the heart of stone, and He gives us a heart of flesh that can be touched and moved by the Word of God. If you've been moved by the Word of God, if it's meant something to you, if you have a love for God, if you have a belief in Him, that means He's touched your heart and He's taken away the hard and stony heart, and He's given you a heart to love Him with, and you and I to use that heart all that we can. We're to love Him with what? All our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, with all our strength, with all our mind. We're to give Him all in our service. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And the scripture says, "And all these things, the things and the troubles of this world that bother us, all the things that we need will be added to us." And when we come to the house of God and we serve Him out of our heart that's full of love to Him, then He'll fill your plate. He'll make your cup and have your cup overflow as you meet at the house of God to worship Him. He says, "This people's heart is waxed gross." Didn't mean they didn't have a heart. It means their heart was touched, but now it's waxed gross. Can a little child of God have his heart waxed gross? Yes, it can. You can become dull. You can get so wrapped up, you don't want to come to church anymore. You don't have a desire to come. You don't have a hunger to come. You don't have a thirst to come. And the preacher can't give you that. I'm telling you, that comes from the Lord. But we need to, when we're there, we need to, as much as we can, strive to enter in at the straight gate and try to the very best we can to feed on the teachings of God's Word the best we can. And as we do that, you'll find it becomes much more meaningful. It becomes, as you study, as you search the Word of God, you'll find that the Lord just opens. Sometimes we might get the feeling our preacher just isn't preaching like he used to preach. And it may be that he isn't. But I'll tell you this, when you ask the Lord to bless him, the Lord can bless him. And if you ask the Lord to look, I ask the Lord to bless me to hear him, the Lord can bless him that. And if we, you and I, get to where we just take it for granted and just show up because it's Sunday and time to do that, then we have a heart that's waxed, in a sense, gross. And he says, and our ears have become dull of hearing, and our eyes, they have closed. That's a dangerous place for God's little children to get to be. He says, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. We're talking about God's little children that have gotten wrapped up in the world and the things of the world to where they can't see and feel and know the things that at one time they were blessed to be able to see and feel and know. And when we get there, brethren, we're in trouble here in this world. Now let me say this right from the forefront. That doesn't change our eternal home. Thanks be to God. What the Lord has done for us was secure and finished. He came to save his people from their sins. That is the word that is to be preached. That God's little children are safe and secure for heaven and immortal glory because God foreknew them. He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son. He calls them effectually through the new birth, by the power of the Holy Spirit. He justified them when Jesus died on the cross. And not only did he die, but he rose again. We celebrate that today. And not only that today, I hope every day that we have a resurrected Savior. And what he began in us, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And everyone that was there in the very first foreknowledge and the calling and the and all that was done is there at the glorification. He will not miss one of his children. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And he said, all that the Father giveth me, I should lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day. That means every one of God's little children are going to get home to glory. But you and I got a trip between there and here, don't we? We're here now. We're not there yet. And I need to walk with him. I need to feel him. I need to feel him in our meetings. I need to feel him in our preaching. I need to feel him when I'm sitting on the pew listening to preaching. I need to feel him when I'm singing the hymns. I need to feel him when I'm walking out into the world from the meeting house. I need to feel him as I'm facing the problems that are going to come tomorrow and the next day. And part of enjoying that is what I get out of the preaching of the gospel, because this is what the Lord has chosen to, he says, chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now what does that mean? It isn't how they get home to glory. It's how they find the peace and the joy and the rest that you and I need in this world. Don't you need peace in this world? I sure do. Don't you need joy and love and all of the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. What would our life be like without the fruit of the Spirit that the Lord provides for us? Galatians 5:22 tells us what that fruit is. And the end result of that fruit, the way we get that fruit and how it's produced in our life, is we hear the preaching of the gospel, and as the sowing of the seed goes forth, it lands on good ground. In one place it talks about an honest and a good heart. That is a heart that's been kept where we're keeping it looking to the Lord. We don't keep it in the sense of keeping it secure. He's the one who keeps us. We can't keep anything. He keeps us. But we're to hold on to that which he's given us. As he's grabbed us and held on to us, we're to grab hold to him and lay hold on to him. We're to seek it with all our heart and with all our mind and with all our soul. And when we fail to do that, he will leave us at times in a cold, dark place for a way of chastisement in our lives. And our lives become a burden. Even to the point that sometimes God's little children can get where they don't even feel the joy and the peace and the rest of being his. And that's what he's talking about right here in the Word of God. He says, for verily I say unto you that many... Oh, get verse 16. He says, but blessed are your eyes for they see, and your ears for they hear. Aren't you thankful tonight that the Lord has allowed you to see that Jesus died on the cross and paid the sin debt for you? Aren't you thankful tonight that you can believe in that and hold on to that and trust in that? And because of that, you find a peace that allows you to live your life and not fear death, but live your life trusting and leaning upon him. He says in verse 17, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. That means we look back to the Old Testament prophets. We looked back to God's little children in the Old Testament. They longed to see Jesus come into this world. You and I don't have to wait for him to come in the sense of a Savior. We're looking for him to come, all right. But when we're looking for him to come, is to carry us out of this old troubled world. He's not coming to save us. He's already come to do that. And he didn't try to do it. He didn't want to do it. He came to do it. And he did it. And he finished that work. They were looking for that. But you and I have been so blessed that we've been enabled to see it and embrace it and believe it. And it's given us joy and peace and rest. And we found that in the gospel. He says, hear ye, and he explains the parable of the sower. He says in verse 18, he says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Over in Luke 8 and 11, you'll find the seed is the word of God. So what is the seed? It's God's word. I'm sure glad the Lord has called men to preach his word. I'm glad over the years that I've been blessed to sit under the sound of good, solid preachers that taught the word of God faithfully and shared the gospel of salvation by grace faithfully. And I got to hear that word over and over again, and I've been hearing it. I think also of many times that I was one of those that heard it and I didn't understand it, or I heard it and for a moment I had some joy and some peace in it, but it didn't last, or I heard it and then the cares and the troubles of this world got in the way and choked it. And then there have been, thanks be to God, sometimes where it brought forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. And what was the difference in those times? He says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. You know, when we gather here tonight, and when we've gathered any other time we gather to hear the gospel preached, y'all already know this, we've got a battle going on, don't we? There's always a warfare going on. Because not only do we gather, but the old wicked one is there also. And he's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. We don't need to be ignorant of his devices, because the Bible tells us about that. And this verse tells us that even as it's sown, listen, as it's sown in your heart and you don't understand it, you don't hear it, you hear it and you don't understand it. And it's because the ground is very hard. It's because there hasn't been prayer. There hasn't been in our lives sometimes study. There hasn't been time in the Word of God. And we hear it and we don't understand it. And then we've given him place. Ephesians tells us to give no place. Give no place to the devil. That means give him no opportunity. Now, how can we give him an opportunity? When we start taking the things of God for granted. When we start taking the Bible for granted. When we start taking our church for granted. When we start taking what the Lord's done for us for granted. We give him a space and a place to come Where he's just right there close enough, we give him a room to come and sit down with us in a sense. And believe me, if a preacher gives him room, he'll come right up in the pulpit with the minister. And if you give him room, he'll sit down right by you in the pew. And as the word is being sown, as the good news goes out, even when the Lord's blessing it to go out, the word was being sown by the sower. And that came from the Lord. He will rob you of that which is sown in your heart. That means he'll snatch it away. Now, if he can't take again your eternal destiny, he can't do that. But he can rob you from the joy and the rest and the peace that you can have in believing and hearing the word. Well, what's the answer to that? The answer to that is to draw nigh unto the Lord. I believe it's over in the book of James that we can read about that. He says this in verse 6 of James chapter 4. We have to be careful about pride. Pride enters in so easy. Sometimes we as Old Baptists can get prideful because we're Old Baptists. And we can think, well, we're this and we're that. We know this and we know that. And I don't need to know anymore. Listen, we need to come to the house of God each time thinking, Lord, what is it that I need to know that I don't know? So that when I come humbly, begging God to feed me. And if you ask Him to feed you, what does the Bible say? If you ask, He'll give it to you. If you seek, you'll find it. If you're not, it'll be open to you. And when you ask the Lord to bless you, He will bless you. Now listen, you won't ask unless He's worked that in you first. You won't seek unless He's worked that in you first. You don't get outside of grace here. Grace is the way that you do those things. It's only by His grace you'll ask and seek and knock. But God's little children need to be actively participating in that. How many times have we come sometimes just taking it for granted what the Lord's going to do? And just assuming that He's going to be with us. Kind of like the Joseph and Mary were when they just assumed that Jesus was along with him when he was a little boy. And there he was teaching in the temple and teaching he was teaching the teachers just as a little boy. But they went a whole day's journey, a whole day's journey away from him to try to and didn't realize he wasn't in the company. You know why? They just assumed he was with them. That's a lesson for you and me. Tonight as we met, we prayed for a lot of folks. But one of the things we most ought to pray for is that, Lord, please manifest thy presence with us. Be with our preacher. Be with me in the pew. Be with me here, Lord, that I'm not just sitting here putting in time, but I'm actively involved listening to thy word, feeding on thy word, that I may grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. And the reason that is important is not so it'll make you happy, though it will. It's because your life then becomes that which honors God. And the reason He made you in this world and put you in this world is that you would honor Him and praise Him. That's the reason you were created. And when you and I are doing what we're created for, then we're happy in the Lord and we find joy and peace and rest in this world. And when we're outside of that, listen, you can get wrapped up in the world, the things of the world, but you're not happy. You're not going to be at peace. That is, if the Lord, if you've been quickened by the mighty hand of God, He's not going to let you just run any old way or act any old way. He's going to watch over you and take care of you and correct you when it's necessary. All of us, I'm not just saying, I'm saying you a lot. I'm really meaning me. Because it comes home to me more than anybody else. Listen, there's sometimes I feel so low and so down and out when I ought to be so excited. What should I be excited for? That the Lord has given me the opportunity to share the most wonderful message that has ever been told in this world. And it isn't a story. It's the absolute truth that the Lord loved His people enough that He came and died for them and saved them for heaven and immortal glory, and not one of them are going to be lost. And I get the privilege and the opportunity to tell God's children that over and over and over again. And He's given me a whole book to preach out of. And yet sometimes I feel like I don't know where to go or what to say when I ought to be. Daddy used to say it this way. There's either 6 to 8 sermons on every page in the book. Now, I don't know where he got 6 and 8 from. All I know he was saying that, listen, there's a whole lot for preachers to preach. And there's a whole lot they ought to be telling God's little children. And when I'm whining and moaning and groaning like I do sometimes, wondering, what am I going to say this time when I come to the house of God? I know this, I can't say anything unless the Lord blesses me, unless the Lord supplies it to me. But it's also important that you are praying and looking to the Lord and asking the Lord to bless. And then when you hear these truths, that you don't allow the old devil to just, you know, he sneaks in so subtly. And before you don't understand it, and the next thing you know, you can't even remember what the preacher said. What was even taught. And he rips it away. And that's what he did. See, you know where the ravens gathered? And that's what he said in that fourth verse. He says, when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. That's hard, trodden down path. And it says, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Why did the fowls come? Because they knew the seed was there. And why does the devil come? Because he knows this is where God's little children are feeding. And he already has the world. They're already going his way, doing his thing. But he would like to rob you of being that which you are supposed to be as a little child of God, giving glory and honor to the Lord. Listen, God's been good to you. He's been good to me. And I owe him everything, don't you? Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. I owe him my life. I owe him my time. I owe him everything. Every good thing I have in my life has come from him. And when we preach that and teach that, the old devil doesn't want you to get that. He wants to rob you and take that from you. So he'll snatch it away, especially when you don't understand it. You go, I don't know what he said, so okay. He'll rob you. Listen, dear ones, you search the scriptures to see if the things you're being taught are so. And then when you see that they are, you lay hold on to them and you attend unto them. You put your heart to them. They should make a change in your life, in your behavior, in the way you think, in the way you act, in the way you move. And all of that is about honoring and glorifying God. He says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Notice he did hear it. If he wasn't a little child of God, he wouldn't have heard it. He did hear it. And it was sown where? In his heart. That is the word of God sown in the heart of a dead alien sinner? I don't believe it is. It's sown in the heart of a little child of God. And that's where the old devil snatches it away. And he that receiveth the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, that means immediately, with joy he receives it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth or endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. In other words, when you follow the word of God, you can expect trouble to come because of it. Notice that he didn't say, if tribulation or persecution arises. He says, when it arises. You know why? Because when you and I try to follow him, you're going to face persecution and you're going to face a trouble and tribulation here in this world. But here, this one needs to dig deep and get the rocks out the field. In other words, you need to till up, as he says, break up in Jeremiah 4. It says, break up your fallowed ground. You know what that means? That means your untilled ground. That means spend some time studying God's word. That means search the scriptures daily to be sure the things you're hearing are so. It means to spend time in prayer, asking God to bless you and be with you. It means to have your heart centered on the things of God. Now listen, you can't do any of that without God being in you, giving you grace and strength to do it. And a big mistake is made by God's children when they think, I'm just going to save this and do this on my own. I can do it. I can follow Him. Listen, in order to serve Him, we have to look to Him and lean upon Him, because without Him, what can you do? Absolutely nothing. We have to abide in the vine. He's the one that causes us to want to pray. He's the one that causes us to want to study our word. He's the one that gives us that feeling that I need to be faithful to Him and walk and follow after Him. He's the one that does that. We'll never get to the place we can pat ourselves on the back and say anything. But oh, brethren, we ought to be praying. Lord, stir my heart, stir my mind, stir my soul so that I see these things as important as they are. He says that he that receiveth the seed in the stony places, you can just see the little shallow dirt, just a big rock there, and you put the seed on it and it pops up for a minute and it looks like it's going to do something, but then it just doesn't go anywhere because it has no root. We got to be rooted. Now where do we get rooted? It says to be rooted and grounded in love, right? Ephesian letter tells us to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. We're to be rooted and grounded in what the Lord has done for us, that we might know of the depth of His love and the breadth of His love and the height of His love and the width of His love and all that He's done for us. And then we can, when we're rooted in that, when the trouble comes, you can handle the trouble because you're not trusting in yourself and you're not, you're trusting in the one that really, as the brother said, you built your house on a rock. Over in the Gospel of Luke, where it talks about the building your house upon the rock, one thing that it says there that it doesn't say in the other passages, it says a man that was a wise man, he built his house upon a rock. He says he dig deep and built his house on a rock. You know, digging deep is not easy. Sometimes it's not easy to do what we're supposed to do in the sense of our old, never easy in the flesh. But remember in the Lord, what did He say? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because He's the one, as Brother Forrest said, and I'm enjoying His preaching right now while I'm in the pulpit. As Brother Forrest said yesterday, when you're yoked up with the Lord, who do you think's pulling the load? Do you think you are? In other words, He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm saying a lot of things tonight about what we need to do. And there are some things we need to do. But I want to make sure you understand you can't do one single thing without Him. And He's the one who gives you the strength. He's the one who gives you the will. He's the one who gives you the ability. But as He's given us that, isn't it disrespectful and dishonoring to Him when we don't do what He's told us to do and walking in obedience to what He's shown us we ought to do? I say that it is. And I say that for me. More than anyone else here tonight. I want to walk a little closer to Him. Don't you? I want to love Him more. I want our meetings. I want to get more out of them. We've got a bunch of union meetings coming up. Annual meetings. And regular meetings that are coming up. And I don't want to look at them with dread or anything other than anticipation and hope of what the Lord has in store for us in teaching us and guiding us and directing us. I don't want to look at our little churches and think about how they're going to eventually wither away and die. I want to think about a God who's able to keep us as we trust in Him, just like what we heard tonight. When we build our house upon a rock, that house is going to stand. It doesn't matter how bad this world gets. It doesn't matter how much trouble we might face in this world. It doesn't matter how old or weak we might become. The Lord is big enough to add to us. Y'all believe that? I believe He can add to us. I believe He can touch hearts we can't touch and open eyes we can't open and open ears we can't open and bless preachers. They can't preach a bit without Him, but they can make them powerful ministers of the gospel through and by His power and by His grace. And if we lack ministry, which sometimes it seems that we do, we have a place to go. What does He say? You pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest. And if we pray that, do you believe the Lord will send forth laborers into the harvest? He said He would, didn't He? Does He keep His promises? Absolutely. And every time we come to the house of God, don't forget, please, when you come here, please pray for me. Please pray that the Lord would open a window that I might speak as I ought to speak, and I wouldn't say more than I ought to say. And not only that I'd speak when I ought to speak, but that I'd shut up when I'm supposed to shut up as well. And that I'd follow Him and follow the leadership of Almighty God, because He can bless our meetings. And if it's anything else that gets praise here, it's the wrong thing. All the praise and all the honor and all the glory belongs to the Lord. And He said this, Yet he hath not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also pointed out that he that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And this may apply to us a lot, and it does to me. When you hear the word, and you know it's the truth, and you've embraced it, but then you go out and live in this old world, and the next thing you know, the cares of the world just seem to overwhelm you. You get more on your plate, you think, than you can handle. You've heard the last bit of bad news you can handle. And when the phone rings, you shake and wonder what's coming. What's the next thing I'm going to hear? How am I going to hold up? How are my kids going to make it? How are my grandchildren going to make it? Don't think we don't worry about you, because we do. We're praying and praying for God to bless you. But listen, if the Lord doesn't bless, we're dependent upon the Lord. But isn't it wonderful to have a God who says, if you ask, it'll be given. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, it'll be open to you. But not just the way we want it, but according to His will, and we can be settled with His will in our lives. That's a wonderful place to go tonight. But it's not any good if we just have it for this moment and then go out tomorrow and then the first thing that hits us where I'm at, I forget what I've said and I don't hold on to it. I've received the seed and the cares of the world choked it. He says the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, that can bother you, can't it? The deceitfulness of riches, you think I need this, I need that in order to be happy. Listen, you be content with what the Lord's given you. You already have more. We already have more than what we could handle or even think about. God's been so good to us. If the Lord increases your riches, thank Him for it. But don't set your affection upon them, because He's the one who's given them to you. And whatever you have, it's going to be a sufficient supply. He says, my grace is sufficient. And if you have Him, you have more riches than the richest man who's ever walked the face of the earth. And if you don't have Him, you're a poor person. You're in trouble. And I'm telling you, to have Him, it ought to be the greatest joy and rest and peace we have in our lives. Don't allow the deceitfulness of riches. In other words, once I think I can get this much, I'll be happy. You get that, you're going to want more. That's why it's called the deceitfulness of riches. It's because it's deceiving. And it'll choke the word. He goes on in Mark 4 and tells us the lust of other things. That's when we're after stuff in this world. We want this, we want that. Got to have this, got to have that. Won't be happy unless I get this or that. It all chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. And then verse 23, we'll close. He says, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. Now, when he understands it, you read older in Mark 4, it says he not only understood it, but he received it. In other words, he understands it and then he receives it. In Luke chapter 8, it says he keeps it. So he not only understood it, but he receives it and he keeps it. That's a good lesson, isn't it? When you hear the word, what are you supposed to do? When you understand it, you receive it, and then you keep it. And when you keep it, that means you walk in it, you follow Him. And when you do that, it says, which also beareth fruit, and it bring forth some hundredfold, some sixtyfold, and some thirtyfold. And those are God's little children that are enjoying the abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ as they walk in righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost, which is the kingdom of God. Right here, right now, that the Lord's provided for us in this world. None of this adds to us in heaven any mortal glory, but it sure helps us here. It's a timely deliverance here in this world as we trust and lean upon the Lord. I pray that He'll bless us to do that better and better, and that we'll pray and we'll look to the Lord and we'll pray for our ministers and we'll study His Word. And then when we hear these things, that when we're not excited, what can you do? You can't just turn on excitement, can you? But you can get on your knees and say, Lord, Lord, help me. And as the one little brother said, Lord, help me. Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, just be with me. Lord, stir my heart. And when that happens in our lives, it just makes a little heaven here below. And makes you a happier person and makes you a benefit to others around you. And more importantly, it's about honoring and glorifying God. That's the reason we're here anyway. I appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
Love you, my dear brother. You pray for me, dear brother.